What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 426, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
Just getting ready to roll down that train track towards CES. We were talking before the show. Just got registered, finally. Like, probably should have registered a little sooner, maybe. But no.
Yeah, I think that, I registered, like, so late. Like, typically, like,
I feel a little late.
Yeah, because it is November.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about a mouse that I reviewed. We're going to be talking about my journey to Micro Center, which was a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the Ryzen 7 9800 X3D. NVIDIA, now the most, most valuable company in the world now, outstanding Apple. New NVMe SSD from Corsair. Microsoft. If you want to keep Windows 10 and you want those security updates, you have to pay Microsoft now.
Yeah.
And some news on the Nintendo Switch 2. So lots to talk about this week. But first, as you can see, it's dark here. And I'm on the West Coast. It's 5:30 p.m. And it's pitch black outside.
Yeah.
And like, didn't we like vote in Congress or something to stop this
madness? I know. Believe me, we usually have soccer practice for my son Tuesday and Thursday nights. And when that time change came, I was like, we can't practice anymore because it was from 6 to 7. 6 o'clock, it's pitch blackout now. It's we can't practice. So I guess
it is, you know, especially here on like the West Coast, at the end of the day, you want to just go to the beach, watch the sunset.
Right.
And it's like 5 o'clock, you know, you get off work, it's dark,
turn the lights on the way home.
So it's I was never a fan of are you a fan of the time change at all?
When I was like younger and you'd be like out on the weekend around this time, it made sense because you're like, oh, we can stay out an hour later, right, because of that. But now with like kids and stuff, this one isn't bad. It's the one in the spring that really screws stuff up for us. But yeah, I'm not as much.
I always liked it because you knew in the summertime the days were longer, right?
Right. Right.
So you, like you said, like, you know, Ryan and I are old, so you know we didn't have cell phones. So when we were younger, it was like whenever the street light turned on,
that's when you got to head home.
Yeah. So if you know, street light only comes on, you know, when the sun goes down. It just makes you so tired, you know?
Yes, for sure.
So not the biggest fan of that. Obviously, other big news, election day's over. It might actually have some implications on PC hardware. I don't know if...
specifically, right?
Yeah, tariffs, prices. I don't think we'll talk about any of that because we don't know, obviously, what's going to happen with that. But if things do happen with that, it can be kind of interesting to see how that affects, obviously, PC hardware, specifically chips, you know, our CPUs and GPUs and things like that. But won't talk about that until we actually know if anything's happening. So jumping into reviews, I took a look at this mouse that I have right here. It's
pretty glorious.
It is glorious. It is the glorious Model 02 Mini. So this is the Mini. Which is a smaller mouse that they say is designed for people that have small to medium size hands. And like, if you look at it, here's it compared to like a normal size mouse. So it's not like the size of a travel mouse. I'm sure you, Ryan, like you've seen like
That's
a travel
exactly
mouse.
What I was thinking,
They're really tiny. This is a little bit bigger, but it's not as big as like a normal, you know, size mouse. And I actually kind of like this size because I think a lot of people do want like a really good travel mouse, but those travel mice are like crappy or like they're just not well made. And this gives you everything that you would get in their normal Model 02 gaming mouse, but it just slightly smaller size. I believe it's only like 6% smaller than their normal size mouse. So again, it's... And especially when it comes to like travel size mice or really small mice, you can't really play games with them. Like they're just not, they're just too small to get a good grip and everything like that. So this mouse kind of solves that problem. And it's actually been a while since I took a look at a Glorious mouse. They were at the forefront of the lightweight gaming mouse craze, probably like what, 2019-ish, 18, 19?
Yeah, something like that, probably.
Where we all used to have those heavy mice that we would take the weights out of and all of that.
Or add them in, yeah.
Some people still love it. Some people still love it to have those. But lightweight mice came along, especially for FPS gamers. They're lighter, so they're easy to do all those flicks and all those things you want to do. Less strain on your wrist specifically. And I fell in love with them. I was just like, why didn't we think of this sooner? And ever since then, I've just, my daily driver has always been a lightweight gaming mouse. And this is, I haven't taken a look at a Glorious mouse in a while. So just to give you an idea of size on this, like here's kind of their sizing based on their mice. So here's the normal size model 02. And you can see the mini is just a little bit smaller. It does feature 6 buttons. It does have their own sensor, which is a 26,000 DPI sensor. And the actual like design of the mouse is pretty low profile as well. It's not crazy low profile, but it's decently low profile, as you can see. And, you know, if you take a look from the side, it's, again, it's a smaller mouse. They've opted to keep the holes in the mouse too, so you have the holes in the palm. I always kind of like that. I never thought that was like a con of mice, right. These lightweight mice. I never thought that was like an issue for me. But you can see how the 2 main buttons here have a little bit of a, what is that, concave or convex? I always get it
cave.
Yeah, concave. Design so they hold your fingers quite well. We do have a Type-C in the front. The issue that I have with the Type-C, I wish I had the cable here because I don't, that I could show you guys, but the cable that this comes with actually is, I wouldn't call it proprietary, but it's somewhat proprietary. So here's the Type-C. You can see it has these notches in here. These notches are specifically made to go into the dongle adapter as well as go into the front of the mouse. So it essentially makes that cable useless on any other Type-C device, which I'm right. not a fan of. So it essentially is proprietary. Beyond that, this is, how many grams is this? This is 57 grams, I believe. So very light. Okay. You know, obviously not the lightest out there. I think like 52 is probably on the super, super light side, but 57 gram mouse, completely wireless. It does have RGB lighting on it and everything like that. You can see the bottom here with the mouse feet, optical sensor, like I said, 26,000 DPI, the little DPI indicator, which is great. So if you just like flip your mouse over, this light will turn on and we'll have a color indicating whatever color that you set in the software for the DPI. So if you're like, why does my mouse feel weird? You just kind of just go like this and you're like, oh, it's green. Green is 1600 and you can change it very easily. You have 2.4 gigahertz wireless with the included dongle. Then you have Bluetooth as well. And then you can also use it wired if you want to. So you have tri-mode connectivity. I haven't checked, like taken a look at their software in quite a while, but it's very easy. It will automatically detect the mouse. You go in and there's up to 3 profiles that are saved on the mouse itself. You can see your battery level, the firmware, all that kind of stuff. Why are our pictures not loading? You can set the pulling rate, the liftoff distance, and your debounce time. You can set brightness. And one thing I really liked about this is that you can set your brightness when it's wired and then when it's wireless.
That is nice.
So, you know, when it comes to wireless mice using RGB lighting, it's going to kill your battery faster. So yeah. You can set your wireless brightness down pretty low. And then when you have a wire, you can put the brightness up. I definitely did like that. One lighting zone. This is kind of what the mouse is going to look like all lit up. It's just one lighting zone. You can only set one effect, or not one effect, but one effect for the whole thing. But that's what it's going to look like. You know, just I always say RGB lighting on mice isn't really like all
it's,
that important.
When you're using it, you're covered. It's covered up most of the time anyway. So, but it's still it is a feature like you almost have to have in today's mice, right?
Yeah, just for aesthetics and people like to like look at their desk and see it. You know, like I said, your DPI levels. You set a color, and again, when you flip the mouse over, it's gonna show an LED that's that color. So you can set your DPI stages quite easily. You can fully reprogram all six buttons on the mouse, and you can set them to a bunch of different things. There's a full macro editor. So everything works really well. And I felt this mouse was really comfortable. You don't, like, if you go from, say you're going on a trip and you bring that travel mouse with you, it doesn't feel like super crunched with your, like, your hand. It tracked really well, didn't have any latency issues or anything like that. Software worked great. Felt really good in the hand. I think that one, if you are somebody who has a smaller hand, this is going to be really good for you because some mice, maybe they're too long, you don't get the grip that you want. Or if you are looking for a really good travel mouse that still gives you the performance that you want and all of that, this is going to be a good one here as well.
I'm thinking to get a mouse for like a kid too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a kid, teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not fully grown yet. And this gives them a good mouse that, again, they get a good grip on. Yep.
Does it have grips on the side? Speaking of grip?
No. So there's no grips on the side. No
stickers that come with it or anything?
Okay. No stickers or anything like that that comes with it. But like I said, it does have a good, like, good feel. You're the grip guy. You're always the grip guy.
Yeah, I always add them on. Yep.
Yeah, so I never was really like a grip person. So for me, it is comfortable like in my hand. So yeah, I think like you said, if you have smaller hands, maybe if you're like, again, for a kid or a teenager who's still growing, it's a good mouse too. And then again, just for a really good travel mouse, I think it's great. 110 hours in 2.4 gigahertz mode, 210 hours in Bluetooth mode. So you're pretty much covered there. It's $99. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I just didn't like that the USB-C connector was kind of proprietary. You know, you can plug another USB-C into here to charge it, no problem. But you get USB-Cs and you want to use it for something else. You kind of really can't with the cable that they provide. So that's the only thing. But I liked it. So definitely check the review out. It was, like I said, always like reviewing mice because I get to play games with them. So it's always a lot of fun.
Well, I got to play games for work.
Yeah. Jeremy in the chat says Logitech G502 is the go-to. I think like people find a mouse and it's just like there. And the G502 for a lot of people is
very popular.
The mouse. There's just people find one and they get every iteration. Just like this is the Razer Viper 3. I forget what this is, but like people have bought every iteration of this mouse because it's the one that they like. Like they just find a mouse, and a lot of times it does come down to shape, it comes down to weight, it comes down to all that stuff. But when you find something you like, that's the one that you get, and you don't really look at anything else. So, also, as I talked about, I went to Micro Center.
Yeah, you sent me some pictures, and like as soon as I saw like you were buying a bunch of computer stuff, I was like, well, I know it's not a Best Buy. Fry's is out of business. He's got to be in a Micro Center.
Yeah, first time.
What'd you think?
One, apparently, I had never been to a Micro Center before, but that Micro Center is massive. Apparently,
I mean, I was gonna say that it looked big and it looked pretty like updated and new. I think Center in Kansas City just went through some renovations because you'd go there and it's decent sized, but it always felt dated when I was in there.
It was huge. It was like the size of a Best Buy. I mean, huge.
Okay.
Maybe even bigger. And somebody was telling me that one just went through, like they expanded it. I don't know, but one, it was good to go into an electronics store and there was like a lot of people in there. Even like not even for the event, like people were just in there like buying. It was cool to see a lot of people buying computer parts and to see, like, again, you go in the Best Buy. I mean, for me, like there was Best Buy. We had
Circuit City.
Circuit City. we had CompUSA. Yeah, but like these stores were always small, and they didn't have like, if you're an enthusiast, they really didn't have, they had like pre-built like a...
CompUSA did though. Like, I feel like CompUSA had like a pretty good selection of stuff.
Ours was really small.
Okay.
But it was great to see every motherboard manufacturer had. And like talking about like mice and keyboards, right? So like they had all the Logitech gaming mice, all the Razer gaming mice. Like they had they had a whole section of mouse mats. Like they had everything. They water cooling. You would have loved it, Ryan. They had every fitting from like Corsair. They had an entire section of Corsair water cooling. Like it was like, I posted on our, on social media. I was like, I've made it to Mecca. And like, now I understand, because they have everything. Like if you're building your own PC, that's the place to go. It really is. Like it was super cool. I went up there specifically because Height was having an event to kind of celebrate their collaboration with Honkai Star Rail. And the real reason that I went was to see some new products, because they said they were going to show some new products that were kind of in development that we kind of knew were coming, but weren't really sure. Yeah. So we have an article on the website about the new products. And I also did a video showing off some of these new products. So definitely check that out. It is, like I said, up on the website. The video is on YouTube if you want to check it out. The big thing, and I think you were more excited for this, is the Height Thick Q80 Trio. So you reviewed their Thick Q60. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it is that, what is that, 240 millimeter?
Yeah, it's an extra thick, as the name implies. Yeah, 240.
So the Thick Q80 is the follow up to that. Still getting a 52 millimeter thick radiator. They've completely redesigned the cold plate on it. So that's kind of the new update. And of course, it's 360 millimeters, and it's kind of hard to see in the picture. Definitely watch the video. But this fan, this is one piece. So you don't have three separate fans. You have a single piece here. And I was really excited to see that, because I wasn't sure if they're going to come out with one, and we haven't really heard all that much about it. But yeah, it's going to be in it. They were saying that they weren't sure, because it's so big, if it was going to fit in like the Height Y70. And they're like, it fits. It definitely fits in the Height Y70. So it's designed to fit in that case as sort of the side mount, if you're familiar with that case. So we got to see that. That was nice. The QRGB noodle. So when it comes to interior lighting on cases, we see that normal RGB strip everybody had. Like there's just a normal RGB strip. What Height is doing, and we didn't get to see it on because this was like crazy early prototype, was they're making their own RGB strip, but it's diffused. It's not just like the normal RGB. And they're going to have two different lengths that are specifically made to go, this is a Y70, to go like this inside the Y70. So it's going to match the length. So one's for the Y70, other one's going to be for the Y60. And they're gonna match. And again, like all of Height products, it's just gonna be Type C connector, so you don't have to mess around with anything. So that was the QRGB noodle. And again, interesting product names, as you said, there, Ryan. They also have a powered USB hub. NZXT used to make one of these. And if you're connecting multiple devices, you have your AIO, maybe you have some other device, maybe you have some screen, maybe you have something. Your motherboard, all the motherboards only have two internal USB hubs.
And they've even got two.
Yeah. And again, especially if you're working with products from multiple different manufacturers, the controller, RGB controller, the controller for your AIO, the controller for your fans, whatever it is, needs a USB 2.0 header. And again, you only have two, so you run out a lot of the time. So what they have is this little USB hub. Again, it takes a Type C. That Type C splits out into an internal USB 2.0 header and a SATA power connector. So all four of these are USB 2.0 headers, but they're powered as well. So you get all of that. And the cool thing about this is that it is magnetic. So as long as you don't have an all aluminum case, you are able to mount this in your case without double-sided tape or anything like that. It just mounts right on. Cool little design on it as well. I appreciate stuff like that, because I used one of these, the one from NZXT, for so long, because you just had multiple different things that you needed to plug in.
Yeah. I didn't understand. So it has that dial on there, and you said, I think in the video, you could turn it on and off, right?
Yeah.
But like, why, if it's in your case and closed up, like what's, I don't understand the point of the switch on it, I guess. They may have a use case, and as soon as they tell me, it's like, oh, that makes sense.
It might be some different use case within their software. Not sure. But that was a little bit, because sometimes like maybe you want to turn something off. I don't know.
Because I would think if it's turning off, like then that's like that USB connection goes, whatever. I'm sure they've got a use case for it, right?
And like typically say you have your system in your room, you want to turn off the RGBs at night, you leave your system on, right?
Yeah.
You would just do that via software. Yeah. Right. So not sure.
I'm sure they've got an idea for it.
But it was, like I said, little items like this that are just solve problems. We don't see them as the much NZXT anymore.
The one's great. I use it.
Yeah. So good to see that. And it just simplifies things. They have a new Y70 Touch. This is actually available now on their website. It's $379. It's their Y70. With their third generation screen. It's a 1440p screen that's 10-point touch, works great with the software, looks amazing. That's kind of their new stuff that they're going to be coming out with. I also did get to see the Honkai Star Rail mouse mats, the key caps that come with the mouse mat. So you get the mouse mat and the key caps. Those are going to be $129. And then we got to see the Y70. I think it's a Y70 or Y60 or Y70. That is the Honkai Star Rail themed. I never played that game or watched. I think it's an anime series.
I've never heard of it.
But the cases look great. Like if that was your thing, the cases did look really, really good. It was cool to see new products, and basically they told me they're gonna have all of these will be launched at CES essentially, minus the Y70 Touch because it's already available. But those other products will launch at CES. They're just getting fine tuned and all of that. But
cool.
We'd be interesting to see how that 360 does.
Yeah, because I mean the 240 performed really well. It's an extra. It's essentially a radiator that's twice as thick as like a 27 millimeter standard radiator, so the 240 acts like a 480 because it's got so much fin density in there, and then the fans are thicker as well. They can push through that radiator a little better, so very thick. An extra set of fans there, so it's going to be essentially like having two 360s.
Yeah, it's 52 millimeters thick. I think the fans are 30 millimeters thick as well. Were they that thick on the?
They were thick. I feel like they're 32,
or it might be 32. I don't know.
32 millimeter thick, if I'm mistaken.
And so on the original, it was like the panda color, kind of like you see like right here,
black and white. Yep,
black and white. But you're gonna get all black or all white. So everything will be all black or all white. So it was awesome. Like Micro Center. is awesome, and it was really cool to see. So if you have one close to you, check it out. Go check out Micro Center.
Well, it's not just computer stuff. They've got, I'm pretty sure they do TVs, right?
They have TVs. They had 3D
printing, right? Exactly. They got a bunch of that stuff. Yeah, I haven't been to ours in a couple years now, but
Jeremy asked, will they have one with an LCD? Yeah. So yeah, this does have the LCD on it. Let me check out our video on YouTube. You can find it on our YouTube page where I kind of show it.
And the review, I put a review out of the thick Q60.
So this is what the LCD is going to look like. And Ryan did a review of the 240 millimeter version of the, which this one's actually connected to, but this is what the screen looks like. It's a 5-inch IPS panel. And you can move that around. Yeah, you can move that around. So both of their AIOs will have the screen on it as well. Wonder if they'll ever just go for one that's just like strictly performance, no screen. You know what I mean?
That's like out of their MO though. They're all about doing things different. Every one of their products is just has features. You know, they work well, perform well, and they're just something different about every one of them.
So. Yeah. It is kind of interesting to see how their product line has, you know. And do you remember, like, were you there where we got to see, like, the initial USB-Cs to connect the fans and stuff? Like, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And now that's, like, their entire ecosystem. Everything connects via Type-C. So, yeah, really cool to see. Thanks for Height for inviting us out. It was a lot of fun. And, like I said, check out the video. Like I said, the video's in the article right here. You can go ahead and check that out. We'll move to Case Mod Friday. That's, of course, where we feature a mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this one is ROG themed. This comes from, I always mess this. I don't know how to say his name. Jugapat's Modifier. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. Yep. But this is a ROG theme with the same Maximus Hero motherboard that I have, the Z890. And it's like this sort of futuristic, what would you call that?
Almost Gundam style.
It's
that like motorcycle, like sport bike, Gundam.
Yeah, it's like that open frame, either motorcycle, Gundam. This one looks more like Gundam themed. Mm-hmm. You can see I think it's the same card I have too, the 4080 Super. Look at that. That's cool though.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
ROG logo there. Yeah, and with this, I don't know if it's the same EIO, but it's the Ryujin 3. Yeah. So yeah, really, really cool build. And one thing I like about these builds is that it's just very simple, but it just looks, again, it like you're not going to buy this, whatever this enclosure is, you're not going to buy it, you know? It's like a custom made enclosure and everything like that.
I know it's not on our list, but I meant to bring it up to you or at least talk to you about it. These custom cases. Did you see the story about the Cooler Master Shark case?
I did see that. What was
sell it kind of at a much lower price than when it had launched. We saw this at CES 2023 is when they had launched it. And it's a very big case. Like a mechanical robot shark. Yeah, you got it on screen there if you want to bring it up. And it's just not selling, I think, as many as they needed to or maybe anticipated. And I think they've got a bunch of extra stock, so they were kind of almost closing them out at a retailer.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just so niche, right?
It's like, so it's niche,
but for how many people?
Well, the thing is that, okay, it's a cool sculpture, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also a PC case or system. So, like, where are you putting this really big? And again, it's not like a case. It's not even like a full tower case. It's big. It's huge. It's like as big as this desk. So where are you putting this? It's not something something you're buying for a kid, right? Say you're super rich and your kid's into PC gaming. This still might not even fit in their room.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's... like I said, I like that InWin does their sort of one-off cases, and they're like one-offs. I don't know if Cooler Master, like, this should have been the same thing.
Right, this one can be the one-off. Keep making the shoe, right? And it made me think about the shoe one, too. Like, how many of those have they sold, right? Don't know. I just thought it was interesting. You're talking about the, you know, the custom cases. I figured I'd throw that.
Yeah, like I said, it's super cool, but it's super niche. And we have to remember that our PC building community is not this all-encompassing thing.
Right.
And while we love stuff like this is awesome and cool. One, it's not for everybody. Two, it's massive, so you have to have room for it. And three, how much was it?
I don't remember. I was thinking somewhere around 10,000. It might have been a little less than
that. Was that just the case, or does that come with the system?
No, I think that was, I don't remember.
Let's see.
It was a lot either way. Because even the like markdown price was like 4,000 something, if I remember correctly.
So 7,000.
Okay. Okay, 7,000 is still a lot.
Does it say?
I think it was only one retailer that was that had it or was marking it down.
So it's $4,300 without anything in it. That's a lot. Yeah, and then you could get it at the time. It was like a year ago with a Core i7-14700F and every, I don't know what else was in it. But yeah, it's just like one of those things, you know? You sometimes things are just, you know, like I said, make 100, like make 100 of them and make it special edition and that's it. But yeah, well, like I said, this is super cool. And this was custom made by somebody. So shout out to, again, Jugapat Modifier. And like I always say, if you're looking for cool cases, cool mods, and we feature one every week, just go on the websites, go to articles, and then scroll down to Case Mod Friday. And like, we have a ton. And you can like endlessly scroll through literally paid, like this goes back years that we have things, you know, cases.
There's hundreds.
Yeah. Oh, there's more. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's like, I don't even know how long we've been doing it, but we've been doing it for a very long time. So you can scroll for essentially ever. If you want to get ideas or just see what you can do with PC parts, this is just amazing. So Jeremy in the chat says, I'll stick with my Corsair 7000D. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, that case doesn't really make sense unless you're like showing something off, or like it's a big, you know, you own some design company and you're putting that where people come in and see it. It's doesn't make sense for a lot of people. And again, you could save so much money and put that money towards better screen, better user experience, better graphics. Like there's just so much, I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, I'd rather have a normal case in three of those Samsung Arc monitors, because three of those Samsung Arc monitors are cheaper than that case by itself. But yeah, we'll move on from that to news. So Ryzen 7 9800X3D came out, or the reviews came out today, and essentially it is the top dog when it comes to gaming performance currently on CPUs. And I think it's kind of funny because when AMD started doing this, I know somebody at Intel said, oh, they're putting these chips together and it does it. But if you think about it now, and the way that I think about it, especially when it comes to like the Intel processors, is that Intel was throwing so much in these processors and packing all of this in and doing all of this. But then just like we talked about before, like everything got so hot and so hard to manage, and it was just not good. And they kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And for the normal consumer, they didn't want that, right? The gamer, the enthusiast, yeah, they'll put a 360 millimeter radiator on it. They'll do all of that. And AMD has the segment where it's like, you want the regular processor? We have our regular 9000 series. But if you want the gaming processor, we have the gaming processor that's specifically made for gaming. And it might have a higher TDP and you may need to, it may need require more cooling, but we have it. And we have this segment for you, the gamer. And Intel just has just their series. That's it. And maybe, you know, they have the K series, which, you know, but it's not a separator like that. And again, there's no performance, massive performance difference either.
Right. Yeah, that X3D part like really sets itself apart from the rest of the product line as far as gaming performance goes.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to see it, right? It's that the X3D part just excels so much more at gaming. It's still an 8-core, 16-thread chip.
Yeah.
Right.
And it outperforms the new Intel processors, but it also outperforms a 14900K, 13900K. You know what I mean? It's outperforming a lot of other processors. And yeah, I mean, that's going to be the gaming part. If you're primarily gaming, that's the part. And they also did improve a lot of the other stuff as well. you know, multi-threaded performance, because again, gamers are probably also streamers, and they might be editing their gaming footage. So you want that multi-core support. You want better CPU specific performance. And they did improve that over the previous generation as well, which is really good. And I think I just don't see how Intel competes in that space right now. Like, do you see a way that they compete at all in that space?
Not without doing something similar to what AMD does.
And again, Intel, and it's not even about the KS part, right? It's not about the highly binned part, because it's the same art, it's the same design. AMD has their normal, you can get your 9700X or, you know, but the X3D part has the 3D V-cache, which makes gaming better. So Intel would have to come out with a part that's not just highly binned and clocks higher, right, but it also has something that makes the gaming performance better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. They'd have to essentially copy what AMD is doing in order to get that extra boost in gaming. They can't just get it by coming out with a faster chip like they've continued AMD came out with those 3D parts.
Yeah, it is really interesting how X3D part first came out. We're like, you know, and now you see how things have gone, and it's just like, now you're like, well, AMD was so smart to do that. And then they have two completely different segments where it's like they're satisfying the gamer, but they're also satisfying the normal user who may not want that. And I think that's what Intel didn't do this time around, right? They didn't really satisfy the gamer, and maybe they satisfied the normal consumer a little bit more. And there's no choice now, right? It's just like, if you want a game, you're going to go AMD. And wonder, maybe in 6 months, a year, we see how market share changes.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you talked on this earlier, like us enthusiasts are such a smaller segment still, that maybe it made sense for Intel to look at their numbers and say, hey, we really only, like, our enthusiast market is such a small sliver of everything else, it doesn't make sense for us to try and compete and be that number one gaming chip, right?
Yeah.
Whereas AMD is still trying to take back percentage from Intel, and it makes sense for them to continue.
Not even just like the market share, but just like the name recognition, mm-hmm, all of that.
Right.
It's interesting. We obviously didn't do a review. I always say, when we don't do the review, check out Tech Power Up. TechPowerUp.com. They have great CPU reviews, very in-depth. That's where you get all the information that you're going to want. So check out the review. They have a review of it up today. It's just like the news just gets worse and worse for Intel, right? Mm-hmm. So not a single Intel Arrow Lake S CPU had been sold at Germany's largest retailer. So Mindfactory, which is essentially like the Newegg of Germany. They release their numbers of how many CPUs were sold. And at least when this story came out, which was October 31st, no CPUs were sold. No Arrow Lake S CPUs were sold. And like, you can see all of what was sold from Mindfactory. A lot of Ryzens in there.
Yeah, there
are. 7800X3D, 190 were sold, you know, in a specific time, but nothing in the new series, the Core Ultra series was sold at all. You have some, you know, Core i7 14700Ks, 14900KFs, but nothing in the new series was sold at all. And from everybody that I've talked to, like, nobody's excited about this series.
Yeah.
You know, as awesome as the motherboard's on, yeah, it's just nobody's really excited. And again, if people are buying a new system, they're all going to, I don't know if they're all going to go AMD, but I mean, I think that's what everybody's kind of.
I mean, I know it's been, what, 7 years since Ryzen came out, but like 10 years ago, if you were like, listen to yourself now going, yeah, everybody's buying AMD, you'd be like, what? No way. Like, yeah, what did Intel do to, you know?
Yeah. So that's one bad story. And again, I don't know the numbers now on Mind Factory. Maybe they sold a couple, but it is a hard sell. Like if you're trying to push somebody towards the Intel side, you have everything that we talked about when we reviewed the what is it, 285 or two, I totally forget even now. Yeah, the 285K is, it's not going to require a lot of cooling, and you're going to get basically the same performance as chips that are 2 to 3 years older. That's the cell that you have. That's essentially it. And you're going to get newer features on motherboards if you're upgrading from a system that's like 4 to 5 years old. That's how you sell it, I guess. AMD else outsells Intel in the data center market. So data center, we don't talk about it that much, but it's an interesting story. It's the first time AMD has ever outsold Intel in the data center market. So again, making more waves that way. And you can see, I mean, not by much, Q3 2024 revenue for data center on AMD side is $3.549 billion. Intel is $3.3 billion. And if you look at the previous revenue from Intel, it went from $5 to $6 billion down to $3.3. Yeah.
Just, I mean, these they're the flagship prices. Did you see them below? What was it? Yeah. $17,800 for a 128-core CPU. Like, you're in just this one, whole other realm.
Data center. Why don't you have one, Ryan?
I know, right?
I mean, that's a lot of cores.
That's plenty of cores.
Yeah. But yeah, all these stories coming out. There was another story that I saw that I was going to write an article on, but it was like, two people were going to buy Intel or something.
Like whole company?
Yeah, or something. Like two companies were going to come together to to buy Intel. Like, there's a lot of stories going on. Intel also, who replaced Intel in the Dow? That was another thing. They took Intel out of the Dow Industrial Average. They took them out. And I think they put NVIDIA in there.
That's kind of wild. Was it Samsung and Apple looking to buy Intel?
I don't know. Let me see. Intel Dow. That should just bring it up. Yeah, NVIDIA replaces Intel in the Dow Industrial Average. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, we talked about it. We said at the beginning of the podcast, NVIDIA surpasses Apple to claim title of the world's most valuable company. And I think anybody can see this happening. Yeah. While Apple is massive and they sell mainly phones, also computers and stuff like that. But with AI and basically NVIDIA essentially being at the forefront, them and Microsoft, I'd say, at the forefront of AI, and especially in the data center space, not your personal chip that you're going to have, like in a laptop, but in the data center, NVIDIA is one of the top. And you saw how the stock price like surged over the past year. So their market cap is now $3.43 trillion, surpassing Apple's, which is $3.38 trillion. That's so much money. Like, what are you doing with all that money? That's a lot of money. But yeah, this all has to do with AI. And, I wish you could have seen this like years ago, and then you would invest, and I'd be sitting on a beach right now, I feel. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so good on, I mean, you kind of just see that any company that's like in AI and doing good things is going to continually grow. And I think, again, you need the data centers. That's the biggest thing. Because when you type in a ChatGPT or you type into Midjourney? Yeah, Midjourney, or you do any of this AI stuff, it's going out to a data center. The GPUs are crunching whatever you're trying to do, and then it's spitting it back to you. Yeah, you need the hardware, and NVIDIA is providing the hardware and all of that kind of stuff. So Jeremy in the chat said AI is everywhere. AI is all over. Everything is AI now. So pretty interesting story there. And Corsair. So Corsair, talking about Apple and dumb things. We talked about the Mac Mini, and I like the Mac Mini M4 because it's a nice little computer. We have a whole article on the M4 Mac Mini. I think it's a good computer. I think it's a solid deal for a high performance computer for Mac people. I think it's great. Yeah. But I didn't notice this initially, and then I saw somebody on Twitter like point this out. So this is a desktop. Like a Mac Mini is what you would consider a desktop computer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, on the back, you can have up to 6 cables attached to this as well. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. They decided to put the power button on the bottom.
It's so stupid.
Now, here's the thing. Is that, okay, on my desk. My desk is, maybe it's not the best example. But like, they put the computer in the back. They put it, like, this thing's small. So you put it towards the back and then you run all your cables. Like, you set it up once and then you go like this. You just press the button to turn it on, you know?
Right.
They put the power button on the bottom.
I mean, I guess they just expect you to always leave it on.
That's what, so I posted this and some people were like, when do you turn your Mac off? I'm like, do people not turn their Mac off? Maybe it's because I'm not a Mac person. I don't know.
Right. Maybe you don't. I don't know. The reason I turn mine off because I got water in it, right? And there's a loop running all the time.
I mean, I turn my main PC off all the time. Like, why would I leave it on?
Right. I mean, if it's going to sleep, and I think that's one thing they do really well is like their power management and sleep, right? Especially, we've talked about this a million times, the integrations they have being the manufacturer of their CPU and their operating system, right? They can tweak everything exactly how they want. So it can go into the lowest power mode possible and then come out of it as easy as possible because they control both sides of the equation, right? So maybe it does make sense for it to be there out of the way. I mean, but you could have put the button on the back.
You could have put it right here.
Exactly.
It's like, I feel like this is the same guy that put the Type C on the bottom of the mouse. It's like the exact same guy. And he's now super high up at Apple and he's like, nope. You know, I don't know. It's just a funny story. But I do feel the Mac Mini is a good little, I haven't seen like crazy benchmarks or anything, but like, I mean, it's like, it's 5 inches. It's small little desktop. I like it. But yeah, they put the power button on the bottom.
So scroll down. It's not illuminated, is it?
No, I'm not sure. Think.
Okay. I was going to say, if that thing lights up on the bottom,
that would be funny, but no, I don't think. Pretty interesting story there. Windows 10 EOL or end of life is
October 24th.
End of support is October 24th, 2025, which is coming up. And after that, if you want to still get updates, security updates, I guess Microsoft's going to charge you $30 per year to get those security updates. And Windows 10 is still leading in the market share of what people are not sold on Windows. All right, what are you running?
Right here, 10.
That's crazy. Windows 11 is, I don't like.
It's fine. I run 11 at work just fine.
Yeah.
I just haven't moved over to it.
It took me a little bit to move over to it on my main system, but when I built my new system, I was like, I'm just going to do Windows 11.
Right? Sure, yeah.
But I honestly, for Microsoft, this makes sense. Sure. They want more people on 11. They do. They don't want
all. Oh, absolutely.
So this is like, okay, well, I don't want to pay $30. I have a free upgrade or whatever. I'll just do Windows 11. Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, as a consumer, are you upset about this?
No, and I think like $30 for a year of continued security updates. Okay, I'll stay on 10, right?
Yeah, yeah. For like the normal consumer, where like a business would have like a lot, that $30 figure.
Well, but then you run into other licensing that, you know, like what does a business pay for?
Yeah,
licensing, so, and this fee, right? Because there's all sorts of options.
I think this fee is just for the consumer, personal user. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing, and I think it makes sense for Microsoft. So,
and they did this with Windows 7 as well. extended security.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Reveal. Oh, yeah.
Jeremy says, in my opinion, Windows 11 is better anyways. It didn't used to. Yeah. Early Windows 11 was not great. There were a lot of issues. I think it's fine. Like I said, I run it. This podcast is being run on a Windows 11 machine. Works fine. Watch it. Like, just everything turns off. This podcast goes That'd be funny. And then our last story, I kind of expected this, but it was never confirmed. But now it is 100% confirmed. For those Nintendo Switch fans out there, Nintendo Switch 2 is backwards compatible, confirmed by Nintendo. So you have a whole slew of Switch games. You'll be able to play them on the Switch 2. So that's a good thing. And like I said, very much expected, but now it's official. So you're good there. So that is the news for the week. As Ryan says, we're like getting down holiday season, Black Friday, then getting into like the race to CES. That's just like how this all goes. And Ryan and I basically have enough products in to do reviews to the end of the year. So we have a lot of stuff going on. So talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at a case. The Corsair IQ Link 35X RGB. So this is their 3500X, and then it's the IQ Link version, or IQ Link RGB version. It comes with three RGB fans, comes with the IQ Link controller, all integrated within this. So I'll be taking...
I think for $150, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And it's really solid case. The panels come off really easily. Like, it's a good case. It's a good-looking case, too. Not the biggest fan of like this.
Yeah, that is just like a straight up box in the middle of it.
Yeah, but like I said, for $150, like you said, not a bad deal. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then Ryan's taking a look at a 360 millimeter AIO from Asus, but it's actually part of their ProArt line. So they came out with the 420 in the ProArt, and now they finally have a 360. So this is their ProArt LC360. And again, no LCD screen here. And going with that ProArt aesthetic right, that they have there. So
yeah, it's a cool cooler. Like, nice. Especially if you're all in or want to go all in on that ProArt line. Like, it fits in perfect with the rest of that product line. Just, yeah, you'll see.
Nice. Yeah. So stay tuned for that next week. We have our question of the week and talking about builds. And that was a good example of sort of like a stealth build. Mm-hmm. But our question of the week is, would you go for an RGB build or a stealth build if you were building a new computer?
So my next build, I would like I've said this a couple times, I want to do like a smaller form factor build. With that, a lot of times, and some of the really small cases, you don't get windows. You'll get either solid panels or you'll get ventilated panels. And with like RGB and all that, it just gets kind of lost behind a ventilated panel. And I'm sitting here like, oh, I've got that, the 240 AIO from Height, right? With that screen. Well, I mean, that's going to take up a lot of space anyways. So I think on a smaller build, I would go with like, maybe do like a blacked out build where you go with like some soft black tubing and black fittings and just all blacked out. I think for a smaller form factor, that's where I would go. On a bigger case, like, I have to go with RGB 100%.
Well, the thing is, too, is that I would be the same way. So I would go with an RGB build. The thing about an RGB build is that you can kind of get sort of like a stealthy look if you use like a dart, like you turn instead of doing like an RGB rainbow wave that I have going on right now. You know, you go for like a darker orange throughout or something that's going to kind of maybe match your motherboard a little bit. And it kind of does give it that stealthy look without like the, as people say, the RGB puke in the system. Right. And Jeremy in the chat says, just use a solid color, like solid white looks great. And again, you just like kind of match it a little bit. So you know, like a solid blue, solid red.
It's a change on occasion, right? You can theme it for holiday and like, you know, whatever you want. That's what the flexibility that RGB gives you, or just turn it all off. And then guess what? You have no longer have an RGB system. Turn it back on when you want, whatever you're. And I don't think that there's not really a price difference or much of one anymore, where it was like, oh, you had to pay that RGB tax. It doesn't really exist, or if it does, it's not a lot more.
Yeah, and I think too, like a lot of cases do come with the RGB fans a lot of the time now too. So yeah, I would definitely go with an RGB build. As we finish things up here, we always talk about anything tech related that you did, anything tech related that you want to talk about or saw or.
Well, I got this. I ordered this like I don't know a month. I've had it for probably 2 months now. I got this Anker battery bank here. Nice. I made a little video on the other day. Just kind of cool. They're always handy to have, right? It's got power delivery 2.0. And then, you know, just a little.
I have like the older version of that.
Okay. Yeah, but it's really neat. Excited to be able to use it in certain situations. Like my son got a cell phone for his birthday this year. So he takes that to school with him, and sometimes like he hasn't charged it overnight, or his Chromebook. Right. That's when we've actually used. I have a Lenovo as well battery bank, and like I'll grab it, throw it in his bag, and like hook it up in his backpack so it can charge while he's on the bus going to school. Cause he's like, they don't let us use our chargers at school and my Chromebook's about dead. I'm like, all right, just plug this thing in. It'll be fine. It'll charge it while you're using it. No big deal.
Yeah. So,
other than that, no, I haven't really
done portable batteries is like one of the most, like, you got to have one, you know, just in case. Cause sometimes you do forget the charge, or you have like a wireless charger and you don't set it on there correctly sometimes and it doesn't charge right. Or yeah, always good to have. Talking about phones, I updated my iOS to the latest one that has the Apple Intelligence.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were like concerned about data breach and all that. I really don't care. But it's kind of interesting. Essentially, it like reads your kind of like email or not any, like email and text messages and gives you like a summary of it on the screen. Instead of like seeing the text message like on the screen, it gives you like a summary. Like, I know like Apple made this big deal about Apple Intelligence, but like at least currently, it's not really like anything crazy.
Yeah. Well, I saw some commercial, I think, the other day, and it was the first instance, because I had seen some of their AI commercials.
Yeah.
I saw one, and it was a situation where it kind of actually made sense to me. I was like, okay, that's kind of
cool. I haven't really used anything else in the Apple Intelligence. I think you can like use Siri and talk to it and be like, do this, and it like, I don't know.
We've had Google Assistant for a long time to do those.
Yeah, I mean, I think Siri did that anyways, but I don't know. Like, they sell these things like it's like the next,
I know,
you know.
Speaking of AI, I had this volunteer event at work yesterday, and it's like helping to build a house for this project called Habitat for Humanity, right? And so we're building these walls in pieces, kind of modular design, and they had the blueprint, but it was backwards. So like it was for a left, you know, left facing house, and we were doing a right. So they had to like flip it over and like look through it to kind of like see it. And you're like, this is the perfect case for AI to take your cell phone, take a picture of that, and tell it flip this image around, but then also make sure you flip the numbers and measurements so that they're like in the right orientation.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is the perfect use case for AI, right? That's something.
Did you do it? No. Oh, well,
I don't know if that exists.
I think it should. I think ChatGPT will do it.
Maybe it would. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. Jeremy's like, AI is like, hey, stupid, your blueprints are backwards. But yeah, I mean, that's, I know that is like, it. I think AI for the most part in its current state is a very good problem solver. Like, even when I'm like writing a review, like I'll be like, give me 4 words that are not this word because I don't want to use this word, or like, you know what I mean? And instead of using Google to search it, like it's very good for, it's a problem solver. That's basically what it is. It helps you solve, like find things faster a lot of times, or just helps you be more creative. Like I said, I use AI a lot, and it everything that I've used it for, it's worked pretty well. I really messed around with like the AI, like Midjourney stuff. I mean, it's cool. I've done it a couple times, but like, I don't really have a use case for it. I think a lot of the AI images, like if I was to use like AI images on like our articles, like on Think Computers, I don't think they'd come out very well.
I think for like some conceptual images, they're all right. But if you're trying to make it look like something actually realistic, people always just nitpick them, right? But if you're and going you for tell. Like an abstract piece, yeah, and you can tell all the time. So
yeah, so but yeah, guys, that is it for the podcast this week. Of course, we want to thank everybody for coming out, and looks like we just had Jeremy in the live chat, guys. You know, if you are in the live chat and if you ever want to ask a question or just chat with us, you can definitely do that. But of course, we appreciate everybody that listens, you know, later as well. Not everybody can make it every week in the live stream. Now, we are going to be playing some Apex Legends on Twitch. So if you want to continue to hang out with us, Ryan runs that stream. So this stream will end and then we're over on Twitch. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Going to be playing some Apex Legends over there. Like I said, always have a good time. Brian, we got really stressed last week, I feel. We got really stressed.
We're going games. Back to old school tonight because it's original map, original weapons, only 8 champions available.
So it should be interesting over there. So if you want to continue to hang out with us, we can continue to talk tech in the Twitch chat. We're always, like I said, want to talk to you guys. So head on over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we will see everybody next week.